Today we will start off with a chart that Mother came up with when we were studying from Job 4, from Genesis 37 through the end of the book of Genesis. But it was, of course, the life of Joseph. And Mother came up with this idea of, boy, he sure had a lot of ups and downs. And she said, well, I think I can do a chart. I said, you can? She said, yes, I think I can put this together. I said, well, okay, I can try it. And but she had this in her head, and so she put it down on a regular paper, and then it looked good. And so then she transferred it to this big chart paper. And so this is what Mother came up with. The emotional roller coaster of Joseph's early life. Of course, we have three main points at the first. And here he is in a very good, happy, emotional state. And Joseph is Jacob's favorite child. And then Joseph had the coat of many colors that Jacob had given him. And then God gave Joseph dreams that his family would bow down before him. So all three of these things made Joseph feel very good at a young, early age, 10 and less, or about 12 and less. Now, the bad thing that leads to the next point, all three of these things made his other 10 brothers very jealous of him. And then that is the cause of this second point that leads to Joseph's first depth of despair. And Joseph is sold by his brothers into slavery. And that is an unbelievably traumatic event that none of us can comprehend. Doing this to a supposed loved one. I can't even imagine doing this to someone that we would hate. So I don't know. This is very strange and a very poor comment and event on his brothers that Jacob has raised here. And then, of course, this is the messianic lineage that is associated with this. So these are very important people. And so they're doing very bad things that's in the Messiah's lineage. Okay, then the third point. Here he gets an emotional uplift and things turn around. Even though he's a slave in a foreign land, a foreign language, he picks up on the language. He's very smart, and he's a quick learner. I think very much like Daniel was and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So I think they're very smart, and they pick up the language quickly. And Joseph does here too. And even though he's still a slave, he's in a foreign land, away from his family and loved ones, he is put underneath this man that is like a general or over the army, this man named Potiphar, and he is placed in charge of all of Potiphar's possessions. So he's in, I guess, about as good as a situation as he can be. So his emotional situation is uplifted here. But then he goes down into a depth of despair right after this because, unfortunately, Potiphar's wife falsely accuses Joseph, and then as a result, Joseph is thrown into prison. And this is a major down point, has to be, as much as being sold initially into slavery. I could see that he's in such a depth of despair here that he could think he's going to be in prison for the rest of his life. And Their prison is not like our prisons that I've even heard called country club prisons. This was very severe, bad prisons that you don't... It'd probably be more like the Russian gulags prisons that he was in. But given some time, things started to improve for his situation. He was still imprisoned, but this fifth point here, Joseph is placed in charge of the prisoners. So this has given him more freedoms. And so he's able to, probably he's not in a prison cell around the clock. He's, and I don't know what all this entails, but he's getting some freedoms here. And probably for the same reason of why he was placed under Potiphar to begin with, he had showed quite a bunch of intelligence, and then God is also favoring him here too. So he's not in the complete depths of despair. So mother here puts this halfway in between. But then he has a big emotional lift in this sixth point. God gives Joseph the correct interpretations of the butler and the baker's dreams. And as a result, Joseph has hopes of being released from prison because he told these two, remember me when you are appointed back to Pharaoh's court, because these were butler and baker of Pharaoh. And he's hoping, well, hey, I'll get out of prison, maybe even get to go and be in Pharaoh's court. But then his hopes are dashed and he's right back down into the depths of despair. In this seventh point, the butler forgets to mention Joseph's name to Pharaoh, and Joseph remains two more years in prison. But then his early life ends on an emotional high. In this last and eighth point, God gives Joseph correct interpretations of Pharaoh's dreams, and then as a result, Pharaoh elevates Joseph to second in command of all of Egypt. And then, this of course, is follows through with, they have 7 good years that they store up all of the grain. And then they have 7 lean years and famine years behind this. And then this is the result for his brothers to be forced to come to Egypt to get grain so they could continue to survive. Otherwise, they're going to die in this famine and starve to death. But because of all of this, this is the reason that his family ends up being saved, which Joseph picks up on after his dad dies. He starts reflecting on the past and he sees the providence of God in all of this hardship that he went through, and it ultimately saved his entire family's life. Any questions or comments on this? Now the next chart is a chart that we got from Kaufman. These are the women that are named at Jesus' crucifixion. And there are 4, and it is confusing reading the text in particular passages, we're going to look at these. But if you put the 3 parallel passages of Matthew, Mark, and John, Luke does not give us anything about any women that are named at Jesus' crucifixion. But Matthew, Mark, and John do. And we put all of these together, we find out that there are 4 women here, and then we figure out, get more clues by reading the different accounts. Yeah, we'll start here with this first account, Matthew 27, verses 55 and 56. And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on from afar. and among whom were, and these are Matthew's account listings, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Okay, so we have Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph. This is all we're getting here. We're going to get more clues of who she is here. And then the mother of Zebedee's sons. We already know who Zebedee's sons are. We know that that's the apostles James and John, who Jesus also named the sons of thunder. And so we don't know her name, the mother's name that was there at this point. But we know who she is, that this is the wife of Zebedee, and she has two sons, James and John, and they are the two of the 12 apostles of Jesus. Now, as far as this Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, just as it's listed, this could be Jesus' mother also. And I'm going to read Matthew 13:55, and we're going to get a list of Jesus' half-brothers. So Matthew 13:55, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? So here, Mary, the mother of Jesus, also had two children by Joseph later, after Jesus was born. And two of these four sons, they named James and Joseph. So just from this one account, this could be Jesus' mother. We're going to find out that it's not when we read Mark's account, but just looking at this, we've looked at this in the past when we covered Matthew, but since we're here again, Jesus has four brothers listed: James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. James, Simon, and Judas also were names of apostles that Jesus appointed and chose, which obviously these are very common names. And then this Joseph is also Joseph. It just changes in the translation or something. But so there was a Joseph Jr., and this James is the one who is thought to be the author of the book of James, and Jesus' half-brother. And then Jesus had a half-brother named Simon. Well, that was also the given name of one of Jesus' apostles, whom Jesus named as Peter. And so, and then there's Judas, that was one of the apostles. So James, Simon, and Judas were also names of apostles that he chose. And then there was a Joseph Jr. there in his family. Any questions or comments on this? Okay, so now we'll go to Mark's account, Mark 15:40. There were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less and Joseph, and Salome. Okay, so we got more information here. And this is where we find out that this Mary is not Jesus' mother, because this Mary is the mother of James the Less and Joseph. So that she named her two children the same as two names that Mary came up with. And but we find out that this is James the Less, which is one of Jesus' apostles. So that was their mother, and we're going to find more information about their dad's name here in John's account But for right now, one of the women named present at Jesus' crucifixion is Mary, and she is James the Less's mother. And he has a brother named Joseph. Then there's Mary Magdalene, and now we get the name of the mother of James and John. Her name is Salome, and this is the only account that we get this from. So Salome married a man named Zebedee, and they had two sons, James and John, and this is who Jesus names the sons of thunder. And now we get more information from John. John 19:25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Okay, so there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. So we know that Mary, his mother, is there. And his mother's sister. And then the third person is Mary, the wife of Clopas. And then there was Mary Magdalene. So we find out that there is Jesus' mother is there. So that's one Mary. And now we find out who this... we know both parents' names of James the Less. His mother's name is Mary, and his dad's name is Clopas. So this is the Mary, the wife of Clopas. And they had these two sons, James the Less and Joseph. And then there's Mary Magdalene, and this is the Mary Magdalene that Jesus cast out seven demons from. And then we find out that this Salome is Mary's sister. So that makes Salome Jesus' aunt, because Mary had a sister and her name was Salome. She married a man named Zebedee. They had two sons, James and John, who are Jesus' first cousins. And so this makes more sense now, while Jesus is here hanging on the cross, that he tells John to take Mary, who is his aunt. You take him into your own home, and very likely Salome may be living there with John also. And so then Mary, and obviously Joseph has died. He is never mentioned past the time that Jesus was 12. So what we can infer, and necessarily I think we must infer, that he died somewhere between the time that Jesus was 12 and by the time he starts his ministry at 30 years old, since he's never mentioned. And then this passage that we just read, it was just Mary and then his brothers, and then he had sisters that were present. And there's never a mention of Joseph. But anyway, so Mary now does not have any, and at this point, his brothers and his sisters are not believers. Now, James would become a believer later and write the book of James. But at this point, obviously, Jesus does not have confidence to leave his mother in the care of any of his half-siblings. So as a result, he tells his cousin, his first cousin John, to take him into his own house. And then I'm assuming that probably Salome is there. So she stays the rest of her life until they start to die. The Salome and Mary are together and in John's house is what the inference is here. John 19:26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, and that's how John always refers to himself in the third person, and he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son," referring to John. Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. So, any questions or comments on this?